Good evening.
Good evening.
Holy moly. I'm getting a real echo job. Oh.
The Microsoft is the speaker.
Okay. New settings. Let's try this again. Good evening and welcome everyone to the regular meeting of the Santa Clarita Valley Water Agency Board of Directors for August 1st, 2023. I would like to call the meeting to order and move on to item 2, Pledge of Allegiance. I'd like to ask Director Peterson if he would kindly lead us in the pledge tonight.
I pledge
allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Director Peterson. Our announcements for tonight's meeting are as follows. This meeting is being conducted in person at the Rio Vista Water Treatment Plant Boardroom. As a convenience to the public, members of the public may also participate virtually by logging into the agency's Zoom meeting. Any member of the public may listen to the meeting or make comments to the board using the call-in number or Zoom webinar link. In the event there is a disruption of service which prevents the agency from broadcasting the meeting to members of the public using either the call-in option or the internet-based service, this meeting will not be postponed or rescheduled, but will continue without remote participation. The remote participation option is being provided as a convenience to the public and is not required. Members of the public are welcome to attend the meeting in person. To participate in public comment from your computer, tablet, or smartphone, when I announce the agenda item you wish to speak on, click the raise hand feature in Zoom and you will be notified when it is your turn to speak. Please unmute when requested. To participate in public comment via phone, when I announce the agenda item you wish to speak on, dial *9 to raise your hand. When it is your turn to speak, dial *6 to unmute. We do have members of the public present, so I would remind them there are public comment cards in the lobby area to facilitate the public comment process. The procedure for tonight's meeting are as follows. I will introduce each agenda item, staff will present. I will ask for public comments. I will then ask for discussion and questions from board members. Please raise your hand. Once concluded, I will ask for a motion and a second. After any further discussion, the board secretary will call for roll call votes. All directors are present for tonight's meeting except Director Bronstein and Director Collier. We now will continue the meeting and move on to item 3, public comments. Members of the public may comment as to items within the subject matter jurisdiction of the agency that are not on the agenda at this time. We ask that members of the public wishing to comment on items that are listed on this agenda do so at the time each item is considered. Members of the public wishing to comment on items covered in closed session before they are considered by the board may do so at this time as well. We do have public comment cards on item 3. We do have Ms. Noltemeyer, would you like to come to the podium and make your public comment for item 3?
Yeah, Noltemeyer. I've been following this board and all the other little boards that come off of it and what's going on. And it's kind of sad to see it coming back to the way it used to be. I was hoping through these many years that I'd been following that it would have changed. But I see the same stuff. The same things being done in the same way. And that's very discouraging. because it's a different world now. And it's going to be a lot harder on people with what you're doing than it was back then. You had more alternatives. But now they're an alternative. You're it. Who else can they go to? And I'm sorry to see that. And later on, I'll be talking on some of the things you have coming up. But it's just discouraging to see what's happening and that it's being based on greed rather than doing what's right for the public in general. Is that what you want? Because that's what you're doing. And I'll be talking on a couple items later that really point that out. And we're going backwards because the latest agendas I got, it was like, that's from 50 years ago. The same things coming around. And it shouldn't have been. We should have, could have grown. It should have been wonderful. And be able to do all kinds of things for the public. And you don't do it for the public. You do it for certain individuals, that sort of thing. And it's not getting us anywhere. And I believe my time is about up and I'm repeating it. But that is what's bothering me and has been bothering me for quite some time.
Thank you, Ms. Notemeyer. I do not have any other public comment cards. Do we have any members of the public online who wish to comment as to items not on the agenda or items that are being considered in closed session, Madam Secretary?
We do not.
Very good. We can move on to item 4, consider and approve a request by myself to attend tonight's meeting remotely due to emergency circumstances. I do not need this approval after all, as you can see. So we will just be approving the agenda with the removal of approval for remote attendance. Are there any other additional changes or modifications to the agenda? Seeing none, the agenda is hereby approved, and we can move on to item 5.1. I guess we should ask for public comment on the agenda. April, do we have any?
We do not.
All right, we can move on to item 5.1, special procedure. Public hearing on the Tesoro del Valle development standby charges and collection of standby charge on the tax roll. This is the time and place fixed for the public hearing related to the proposed levy of water standby charges for the Tesoro del Valle development for the purpose of reserving and securing a water supply for the benefit of PLC Tesoro LLC. Upon Tesoro's development and connection of individual dwelling units to SCV Water. I would now ask for the Board Secretary to report on the notice of this public hearing.
Notice of public hearing and distribution of the water standby charges ballots has been completed in the manner and form as required by law.
Thank you, Madam Secretary. Before proceeding further with the public hearing, I would like to ask staff to provide a quick overview of the project and introduce the engineer who prepared the report for the fiscal year 2023-24 annexed area of Tesoro del Valle development standby charges. Our presenter is Rick. Go ahead, sir.
Thank you, President Martin. I am Rick Vassilopoulos, as you may have noticed on the giant screen for the last 20 minutes. I just wanted to give a brief presentation, description of the timeline and the overall Tesoro development and its annexation. And then the standby charges we're discussing tonight will pay for the development's portion of the of our BVRRB water dedicated to newly annexed areas. Next slide.
Hold on just a second, Rick, while I pull up the PowerPoint.
Sure.
You're all set.
Okay, thanks. So the development is located along the basically the north boundary of the SEB water service area, just north of Copper Hill. The annexation area of the Tesoro Del development consists of about 346 home sites and 95 additional HOA landscape areas. The properties were officially annexed back in June of 2021. Next slide, April. So the annexation of the Tesoro Del Valle has been going on since about 2013. But in 2006, the old CLWA adopted an annexation policy that was based on two underlying principles, that the annexation would not impact the cost of reliable water to existing customers, and two, that in fairness to existing customers, annexing parties would have to pay back taxes to bring them current with all other customers. In 2007, the agency acquired our BVRRB water, a portion of which would be dedicated to future annexations. Then in 2013, both a deposit and funding agreement and an annexation agreement with the developer were executed. And in 2017, the third amendment to this agreement recognized that the water demand for the project would be reduced from 500 acre feet to 389 acre feet due to some changes in the development scale. In November of 2018, the County of Los Angeles adopted the final EIR for the project. And at the May 13th, 2019 Water Resources Committee meeting, a consensus was reached that a new homeowner would only pay SCV water rates consistent with existing customers and that the standby charges would no longer be applicable to those property owners. This information was relayed to the SCV Water Board of Directors at a meeting on August 6th, 2019, where the board adopted Resolution 116, directing staff to apply for the annexation with LAFCO for the Tesoro project. Staff then submitted the LAFCO application in October of 2019. LAFCO reviewed the annexation for about 20 months, mainly due to COVID, I guess. And in June of 2021, the certificate of completion for the annexation was received. And that brings us today to the agenda item to finalize the standby charges for this development. With that, I'd like to introduce John Wright of, from Raftellis, the company that prepared the engineer's report for the fiscal year 2023-24 annexed area. To develop the standby charges. John is here, I believe he's in the room there, to provide both the board of directors and the audience with a summary of the project and the proceedings that will take place during and after the close of this public hearing. With that, take it away, John.
Thank you, Rick. Good evening, thank you for having me here. As Rick indicated, my name is John Wright and I work with the consulting firm Raftellis, and we assisted SCV with the development of the standby charges that we're here to discuss tonight. A couple things to note. I'm a representative of Raftellis and worked on the calculation of these charges, but our professional engineer is a gentleman named Mr. Sudhir Partiwala. Sudhir is a licensed professional engineer in the state of California. And I believe Sudhir may be remotely dialing in tonight. He was unable to attend, so I am representing him. I think the first thing to talk about associated with the standby charges is that they do fall under the auspices of Proposition 218. And because they fall under the auspices of Proposition 218, one of the things that's necessary to do is to provide a written notice to parcel owners who will be affected by an increase in the standby charge. And that parcel, that notice has to contain information such as the basis of the calculation of the rate increase, why the increase was necessary. And that notice also has to provide the time and date for the public hearing, which we're having here tonight. And that public hearing has to be held no less than 45 days after the mailing of the notice. And at the public hearing, you, the board, have the opportunity to determine whether or not you want to make the increase effective. But a key issue is counting the protests that have been received by parcel owners. And if a majority of parcel owners protest the increase, then you cannot move forward. And I do not have that count right now and whether there have been any protests associated with the increase in the standby charges.
There has not been any protests.
Very good. So you are under Prop 218 able to move forward to increase the standby charge if you feel that is appropriate. I think the next thing I would like to do is to provide you background information associated with how the charges were calculated so that you have a feel of what went into the whole calculation process. And I believe that my PowerPoint presentation is right behind Rick's. Yeah, thank you. So next slide, please. So what I'm going to talk about is just a little bit of background regarding what standby charges are and a little bit of background about the Tesoro development. And then I'm going to walk you through at a relatively high level the calculation process. Next slide, please. So when we think about standby charges allow us to recover the cost of, in this case, water supply capacity before the parcel owner actually connects to the water system. And in addition to water supply capacity costs, for example, you can also recover O&M costs. Standby charges, as you might imagine, are not used after the parcel owner has connected to the system. And in the case of sort of the regulatory requirements associated with standby charges, there is a uniform Standby Charge Procedures Act, which is part of the California government code, which talks about standby charges and how they're calculated and what the administrative process is. And then also, as previously noted, they are part covered under Proposition 218 because the standby charge is really a parcel-based charge, which is what Proposition 218 is associated with. Next slide, please. So when we think about the Tesoro development, the Tesoro development is basically approximately 8 million square feet in total size. And it consists of landscape area, and also it consists of single family residential area. And there's approximately 3.5 million square feet of residential area. And there's approximately, I believe,
I'm having a little bit of a problem. There's approximately 4.8 million square feet of landscape area. And as Rick gave in his excellent background, by the way, Rick's slides look nice to mine, but I can't really think about that right now. I have to pull around. But getting away now, I'm going to throw that, but kind of worried about a lot of this stuff.
Oh, I thank you so much. I apologize. That's much better. Tesoro was annexed into Castaic Lake for the very reason of obtaining a water supply. And the entire Tesoro development takes up basically 802 acres. And Rick gave you some detail associated with where that lies within your current service territory. And when we think about Tesoro and we think about the amount of demand associated with the Tesoro development, as Rick indicated, it's approximately 389 acre feet. And that's associated with the development of 346 single family residential properties. And the supply for Tesoro comes from a purchase water contract you have with an entity that Rick referred to as BVRRB. BVRRB is a joint agency between two water districts. And BVRRB has a firm capacity of 11,000 acre feet. And of that, we've noted that Tesoro is estimated to be 389 acre feet per year. Next slide, please. So how do we calculate standby charges? Next slide, please. So the first thing we want to do is we want to understand what our annual water supply cost is. And that annual water supply cost totals basically $388,000. And the way we determine that is we know BVRRB has a firm capacity of 11,000 acre feet. Tesoro's demand, once again, 389 acre feet, which is 3.54% of that total 11,000. BVRRB's total carrying cost to support this firm capacity is 10.9 million, basically 11 million. And the Tesoro share of that cost, 3.54%, equates to $388,000. So it's a very straightforward method of determining what that annual cost is. Next slide, please. The next step in the process of calculating the standby charge after we've established the water supply cost is to understand what the demand is for our two different land use types. And of course, we have residential demand and for the residential land use and landscape demand. So looking at residential, one of the things we would note is that the Tesoro development as currently planned will have single family residential properties of seven different lot sizes. And so in order to determine what the water demand will be in aggregate for those different lot sizes, one of the things that SCV Water did and that Rick did is Rick analyzed 10 years worth of consumption data for single family residential homes in an existing Tesoro subdivision in order to determine what their average usage was per square foot on both an indoor and per square foot on both an outdoor basis. And based on that analysis, which Raftellis reviewed in excruciating detail, the total estimated demand for residential is 215 acre feet. And of that, 141 acre feet is outdoor and roughly 75 is indoor. And one of the things to note about that indoor water usage is that it assumes 55 gallons per day per capita and an average household density of 3.5. And 55 gallons per day per capita, you know, complies with the current state of California indoor water usage standard. After establishing that 215.2 acre feet per year residential demand, we then have to gross that up for water loss on your system. That water loss percentage is 4.5%. And when we gross it up, that's how we achieve the 224.89, which is referenced at the top of the slide. Next slide, please. So landscape demand, which was calculated to be 164.89 acre feet per year. When we think about the Tesoro development, irrigated space on Tesoro is a number we're going to see in another slide, but it's over 2 million square feet. But that development, or excuse me, that landscape area is basically sort of medium water use plants. It's trees, shrubs, flowers, and there's only about 11,000 square feet of irrigated turf in the landscape. And so the way the landscape demand is estimated is through a process of looking at the amount of water these different types of medium water use plants, flowers, trees, and shrubs require, given factors like the evapotranspiration rate. The evapotranspiration rate is the amount of water loss plants have in any given location based on climate conditions, temperature, humidity. Also, of course, the landscaped area for the and plant factor, which adjusts usage for the different type of plant, and also irrigation system efficiency. And many water utilities here in California have what are known as water budget rate structures for their ongoing water rates, where customers are given a maximum allowed budget. And the process of estimating Tesoro demand for landscape is very much like that. It's a very common, widely used calculation. In any case, before water loss is taken into consideration, That landscape demand was estimated to be 158 acre-feet per year, grossed up to roughly 165 based on 4.5 system water loss. Next slide, please. So we know how much the annual cost of supplying Tesoro is, or the annual cost of having supply standing ready for Tesoro. And we know what the water demand is by land use. And we take that information and we run it through a calculation to come up with a unit cost of supplying landscape and residential expressed on a dollar per square foot basis. And I promise I'm not going to draw this out too much, but the top one third of this slide shows our total estimated demand. The middle part of this slide shows the supply costs. And then the bottom part of this slide shows the calculation of the per square foot rate. And that's what's really important. For single family residential, it was calculated to be 0.0647 dollars, and landscape was calculated to be 0.034 dollars. So that's per square foot. Next slide, please. Okay, so we have these dollars per square foot amounts that we've calculated. And as Rick indicated, Tesoro is a 13 parcel, roughly 800 acre area. And each one of these parcels has a specific square foot of residential area. And we look at the square footage in each one of the parcels times the dollar per square foot cost that we calculated to come up with the annual residential standby charge for each parcel. Next slide, please. Well, we also do the same thing for landscape. We've got 13 parcels. Those parcels have a different amount of square footage. And we multiply that times our unit cost per square foot of supply, the 0.0340, to come up with the annual standby charge in each parcel for landscape areas. And then I think my final slide is, next slide, please. My final slide just kind of summarizes that for each parcel, what the combined square footage is and what the combined single family residential, excuse me, that slide should say SFR plus landscape, I apologize. But what the combined charge is for each parcel, and that adds up to our annual cost of $387,724. And that's basically the process of calculating the standby charge at a very high level. And I believe that is the last slide I have for you here this evening. Thank you for letting me move up so I could see my slides.
Thank you for your report, John. Before I go to director questions and responses, I do have a public comment card. Would that come under the heading of public testimony since it is 5.1? So I see Mr. Bunn shaking his head yes. So we're not quite ready for Ms. Noltemeyer's testimony on this. So we can open it up to all of the board for questions and possible responses from our consultants. Vice President Ozahowski.
Thank you for the presentation. Can we go back to slide 15 or 14?
Tell me when you're ready to stop.
Sure, keep going. More.
Let me share my screen really quick. Hold on just a second.
Sure.
More?
This is good. I was wondering if you can explain parcel 5 and 6, the zeros under the square footage.
I cannot specifically address those zeros. Perhaps Rick, you can.
Yeah, I can answer that. Director Ozohowski, there's just no homes on those properties in the development. So that's the only reason why there's zeros there. There's no residential units on that on those properties.
Okay, and no auxiliary facilities on those parcels?
There's like, I think one of them is a helipad. And I'm not sure about the other one, but I believe one of them is a helipad, and the other one is just it ended up being open space. When we calculated all the areas, they changed slightly from the time that we measured the areas and actually went to have Reptellus do this exercise for us. So there was a couple little areas that were mapped out, but ended up being no units being in that box, so to speak.
Okay, and Mr. Bro, so I'll put Rick, Mr. V, if I may, since I have you on the call here, you picked 400 homes in an existing developments for your assessment. What year were those homes built?
They ranged from, I believe, 92 to 98. I'd have to double check. But we did go back the water for those, the usage for those, we did go back 10 years on those development. And they're basically most of the homes that are directly south of this property developed in the same development.
Okay, understood. Thank you. Sure. Back to you, President Martin.
Right. Vice President Gute.
I just want to say I thought the presentation was very clear. A lot of times we are discussing rate issues and want to make sure that the public can understand the reasons behind it. And I enjoyed your presentation for its clarity and appreciate the calculations that you did step by step. So thank you for that.
Thank you.
Director Armitage.
Yes, I thank you both for the presentation as well. Can you pull up the presentation again, April? I'm sorry.
Yeah, sure.
On page slide 13. Thank you for asking your question, Director or Vice President Ozohowski, because I had that same question about those two areas as well. But one more question on slide 13. Right there. Thank you. Under supply cost in the middle, so it says cost incurred for single family residents twice.
Yes, I apologize.
Is it supposed to be landscape?
I apologize. It should say landscape there. I apologize.
Okay, that's what I thought. So I just wanted to clarify. And then last question is, did the folks at Tesoro have any input on this process?
They did not, that I am aware of. They certainly didn't have any involvement in the calculation process.
Okay.
That my firm performed.
Okay, thank you.
Director Cooper.
Thank you for the presentation. It really helped clarify some things. So as a parcel is built out and the homes are built on that parcel, then that portion comes off of the standby charge and it becomes just as a normal home.
Sir, that's my current understanding.
How do you account for common areas, that 10,000 square feet of turf that you had in there for a common area, and I'm sure there's other common areas that have irrigation. How does that come off of the developer's costs? Is it wait until that entire parcel is done, or because they're not attached to a home?
Right,
they're a common
area. I think I can answer that, John. Basically, when the HOA starts to become an HOA, when those parcels are turned over to the HOA for them to manage, that's when those parcels will come off of the standby charge.
The parcels, but how about the common areas?
The common areas are we've parceled out, so the common areas are their own separate parcels.
Okay, good. Thank you.
Very good. Any other questions or comments from the board? Seeing none, we can go on to public testimony. We do have one public comment card that can be considered under the public testimony, and
Ms. Meltemeyer, would you mind coming to the podium to make your comment?
In reading the entire thing back here, and then reading what is being presented here, really have no connection. And when I look at this and what you're going to approve, you're taking on a big obligation here. Read what you have on your agenda and right here on your two special procedures. That's what it's called, special procedures. You're taking on the special procedures. Read those. I did. And I'm going, who would approve this? You're saying, well, let's just put it on the ratepayers. And gee, it's not going to cost us much. We're going to watch this. We're going to tell them when they have to put in more money. And when are you taking over developing a development? That's what you're doing. Read it. And if you haven't read it, then I have to wonder why. Because I've read it. Spent a long time reading it. And finding, and you're saying, well, at the end, it comes down, well, it's really not going to cost us that much. Just to tell them, you know, this and tell them that. Since when are you the one that should be doing that? But you do that a lot. And I've watched you, and that's why I'm so disappointed in what I'm seeing from our city. Does it go over your heads or what? But do you have enough? Is there enough water for everybody right now? Is there? That's a simple question. Are people being asked to cut back and everything possible? Because that seems to be what I see. But then we don't drink your water, so we have an added cost because we won't touch your water as far as cooking or drinking it. But what I read here, and I've gone through it, I assume you have too. That's exactly what you're approving. If you approve this, you approve. We'll look at this. We'll take care of it. We'll let you know. And that's not going to cost us much. Since when are you in their business? And if you haven't read that, I don't know, understand why you didn't.
Thank you, Ms. Miltmeyer.
You're welcome.
Continuing on, the board of directors would like to hear from any other interested person who desires to address the board of directors on this matter. Do we have anybody online, Madam Secretary, who would like to address the board?
We do not.
And we have nobody in the boardroom who wishes to address the board. So seeing no one else who wishes to be heard, do any members of the board of directors have any further questions for the district staff or consultants as a result of the public testimony? Seeing none, are there any additional board of director questions to or responses from staff and consultants? Seeing none, I would like to remind everyone that all standby charge ballots and replacement ballots must be received by the board secretary before this public hearing is closed. Standby charge ballots or replacement ballots received after the close of this public hearing will not be tabulated. Did the owner need additional time to submit standby charge ballots? Or did the owner submit standby charge ballots but now wishes to submit replacement standby charge ballots? If so, the board of directors will take a 5-minute recess before the closing of the public hearing to allow for the submission of standby charge ballot. I would like to hear from the owner as to the need for that. Seeing none. We will not be in need of a 5-minute recess, so the public hearing is now closed. Standby charge ballots and replacement standby charge ballots received by the Board Secretary after this time shall not be tabulated. The Board of Directors shall now recess for 5 minutes while the Board Secretary tabulates the standby charge ballots and replacement ballots received by the Board Secretary prior to the close of the public hearing. Upon completion of the tabulation of standby charge ballots, the Board Secretary will notify the Board of Directors that the tabulation has been completed and the meeting will be called back into session, or the Board of Directors will return to this agenda item upon the conclusion of the agenda item currently under consideration. Madam Secretary, do you need time to tabulate the ballots?
Yes, I do.
You do not?
No, I do.
You do. All right. We will be in recess for 5 minutes. Session. Madam Secretary, do you have a report for us?
I do. 13 standby charge ballots were mailed to the owners of property within the Tesoro development at which the standby charges are proposed to be imposed, and 13 of those standby charge ballots were received and properly filled out prior to the close of the public hearing. 13 standby charge ballots representing $387,724 of standby charges were submitted in support of the levy of the proposed standby charges within the Tesoro development. 0 standby charge ballots representing $0 of standby charges were submitted in opposition to the levy of the proposed standby charges within the Tesoro development.
That completes your report, Madam Secretary?
That does.
Very good. Will the attorney please advise the Board of Directors of the actions that the Board of Directors may take as a result of outcome of the standby charge ballot procedure?
Yes, thank you very much, President. As a result of the standby ballot procedure, there is no majority protest against the imposition of the assessment. So as a result, the board may consider adoption of a resolution of the board declaring the results of the water standby charges, approving the engineer's report, and directing the levy of the standby charge. Basically, what that means is that the board at this time is authorized to move forward with adopting the standby charge should it wish to do so. Thank you.
Very good. We will now have director discussion on this matter. If the engineer reports that a majority protest to the levy of standby charges has not been filed, and the Board of Directors may proceed to consider a motion to introduce the following entitled resolution, a resolution of the Board of Directors of the Santa Clarita Valley Water Agency, California, declaring the results of the water standby charges, approving the engineer's report, and directing the levy of the standby charge. If the engineer reports that a majority protest to the levy of the standby charges has been filed and that the Board of Directors may not proceed to adopt the standby charge, the Board of Directors should direct staff to prepare a resolution abandoning the proceedings and to adopt the standby charge for presentation to the Board of Directors at the next regular board meeting.
Excuse me, Mr. President, but that the board did adopt that. You presented two alternatives.
Okay. Very good.
The vote was in favor, so you can go ahead and consider the resolution now.
Okay. So do we need to take an action at this time, Mr. Bunn?
Yes, you do.
All right.
So it's just to consider the resolution that's set out in the agenda.
So package. I would entertain a motion for approval of the resolution that is set out.
I would so move the adoption of the resolution to impose standby charges.
I'll second that.
Motion by Director Cooper, second by Vice President Ozahaska. Is there any further discussion amongst the Board of Directors? Director Cooper.
I just want to make it clear for some folks that didn't understand the item, is this actually saves the agency $387,000 a year that we're being charged. So it does not cost the agency anything. It saves us $387,000 a year.
All right, I think we're ready to call for a roll call vote, Madam Secretary.
As I call your name, please state how you vote. Director Armitage.
Yes.
Director Peterson.
Yes.
Director Cooper.
Yes.
Director Marks.
Yes.
Vice President Ozohofsky.
Yes.
Vice President Gutzeit.
Yes.
President Martin.
Yes.
Thank you. This item does pass, and that's resolution number SCV-375.
Thank you, Bart. Thank you, staff. Yeah. Thank you to our consultants who presented to us tonight. We can now move on to item six, the consent calendar. There are 10 items on the consent calendar tonight, and I would entertain a motion for approval of the consent calendar. Three hands up. Director Cooper, let's start with you.
So move adoption of the consent calendar.
All right. Director Armitage, did you?
I'd actually like to pull two items, please.
Pull two items.
Yes, 6.2 and 6.3.
6.2 and 6.3 will be pulled for separate consideration. Vice President Ozohofsky, did you?
No comment.
Okay, so we revise your motion to, motion to approve consent calendar minus 6.2 and 6.3.
Yes, that's.
All right, do we have a second for that motion?
Okay, I'll second that one.
All right, we have motion and a second for approval of the consent calendar, pulling 6.2 and 6.3 for individual and further discussion. Madam Secretary, please, well, let's see. We have a public comment card for 6.3, so we'll bring that up when that item comes to the next up after 6.2. So, Madam Secretary, please call the roll.
As I call your name, please state how you vote. Director Peterson.
Yes.
Director Marks.
Yes.
Director Cooper.
Yes.
Director Armitage.
Yes.
Vice President Gutzeit.
Yes.
Vice President Ozohofsky.
Yes.
President Martin.
Yes.
Thank you. The consent calendar is approved, excluding item 6.2 and 6.3, and that includes resolution numbers SCV-376 and SCV-377.
All right. We can move on and consider item 6.2, which is approved. The minutes, of the July 18th, 2023 Santa Clara Valley Water Agency regular Board of Directors meeting. No presentation is required. You have the minutes in your packet. Before we take board discussion, is there any public comment on item 6.2? And I do not have any public comment cards. So do we have any members of the public online who wish to comment on 6.2?
We do not.
All right. What is your concern.
Thank you. So on the third page of the minutes, or page 27 of the packet, at the top, it describes a motion to approve both the S-Well PFAS groundwater treatment and disinfection facility projects, mitigated negative declaration. Maybe I read this wrong. I was seeing this as both votes in one, but maybe I misread it. No, they are separated. No, are they separate? Okay, help me out, April. Because we ended up separating the vote, right? And so maybe I misread this. It is separate?
It is separate. Okay. Yeah, there's 6-1 is above, and then there's a 6-1 below.
Okay.
So there's two. Yeah.
Okay, it was separate. Then I apologize. I misread that, and I'm okay with this.
All right. We're still considering it. I entertain a motion for approval of 6.2.
I make a motion to approve 6.2.
Second.
I'll second.
Second by Director Marks. Madam Secretary, please call the roll.
As I call your name, please state how you vote. Director Cooper.
Yes.
Director Peterson.
Yes.
Director Marks.
Yes.
Director Armitage.
Yes. Yes.
Vice President Ozohofsky?
Yes.
Vice President Gutzeit?
Yes.
President Martin?
Yes.
Item 6.2, the minutes have been approved. Thank you.
Thank you, Board. We now will consider item 6.3, approve appointments and reappointments of the SCV GSA Board of Directors and alternate Board of Directors for the 2024-2026 term. You have a staff report. Mr. Cole, would you like to make a brief presentation on this?
Sure. Thank you, President Martin. This item was brought before the Water Resources Committee. The committee discussed the appointments to the Groundwater Sustainability Agency Board of Directors. As the staff report lists, the current members, Director Cooper, Director Gutzeit, Director Martin, Director Orzechowski, and then there are alternates, which are Jeff Ford, RJ Kelly, and Lynn Klembeck. The committee discussed the item and is making the recommendation to continue with Directors Cooper, Gutzeit, Martin, Orzechowski, and alternates would be Jeff Ford, Director Marks, and Director Peterson. And that concludes my report.
All right, we do have a public comment card before we have further discussion. Ms. Noltemeyer, would you like to make your comment?
This is 6.3. You're taking off Lynn Plumback's name and replacing it with someone else down below. I'm just wondering why. But then I imagine she didn't fit into what you like to do. And she probably wouldn't. You have Jeff Ward, alternative Dirt Marks. Some of these people I remember them from times past, and I see him coming back into it, and I don't think there's any point in talking to you people about it, but I just see what's happening, and it's very disturbing. And you're appointed to serve for a term of 2 years. And you don't really give an explanation as to why you took out Lynn Plumback and replaced her with who knows down here. And it's the kind of thing I'm seeing constantly. And new appointments to the SVVGSA Board of Directors and made the following recommendation for board consideration and approval. Well, maybe it'll be the same kind as yourself and you'll be happy with that. I know some of these people. And in the past, it was one of them, especially, I can't understand why it's being put on here at all. Just like I saw years ago, he was on. And he isn't with any, I won't even go out. I'll bring it forth as a challenge. And see what we can do about making sure that they are not somebody like this person is coming on for their own financial advantage. I'm sure you've checked that all out. You wouldn't let anything like that happen, would you? We'll see what happens.
Thank you, Ms. Noltemeyer. We have any other public comments, Madam Secretary?
We do not.
We can open up for board discussion on this item. Anyone like to speak? Director Armitage.
Thank you. So I was not surprised when I saw this list, but I was still disappointed. I listened to the committee meeting recording to understand this discussion around this item. And as the committee put together this list or discussed this list, the committee members made decision to skip over consideration of three current and elected board members, SCB Water board members, for consideration. You know, people who our community have voted for and chosen to help guide policy around water issues in our valley, and instead recommended someone as an alternate who was not ever elected to represent the community, but was appointed to serve a little bit less than a term, but more importantly, no longer serves on the SCB Water Board. There wasn't consideration given to Director Colley, who has been elected to represent our community for a significant amount of time. There was not consideration given to Director Bronstein, who was elected in 2020 to help shape water policy in our valley. I wasn't given consideration myself. I was also elected in 2020. And on top of that, I also served on the Stakeholder Advisory Committee for the Groundwater Sustainability Agency as the plan was being written. So I do have familiarity with that plan. You know, I have an idea as to why some on this board continue to want to help Mr. Ford add to his resume, but I'm not going to go off on a tangent. It's really disheartening, and it feels like a lack of professional courtesy to sit here and watch pretty much the same members of this board not get the courtesy of consideration and discussion time and time and time again when appointments come up. I think back to our board team building workshop that we had, and it just really makes me cynical. And it makes me feel like we really shouldn't be spending ratepayers' money on the board team building workshop because, you know, having us force ourselves to say nice things about each other for a few hours does not translate to better board relations when there is a feeling of underlying underappreciation of certain board members and, you know, the feeling that not all board members are respected in the same way. So I don't support this recommended list. While we have three perfectly capable, currently elected and serving board members to serve as an alternate or alternates, you know, and if you're going to say that Mr. Ford was selected because he has more knowledge on groundwater issues, well, then I would come back and say, well, perhaps board members should be offered more opportunities to learn about groundwater issues so we are all on par and have the same level of information and awareness. So that justification is not strong for me. And I think honoring the public's voice on who they want to see at the decision-making tables should hold greater value than it does when it comes time to these decisions. Thank you.
Thank you, Director Armitage. Any other comments or from the board? Vice President Ozahas.
You know, it's definitely important to appoint people based on merit, based on past experiences. Regarding to Mr. Ford, had the pleasure of hearing him being a chair on the Water Resources and Watershed Committee meeting and also on the board while he was serving as a director. And he pointed out, you know, few minor mistakes here and there made by staff. He has an amazing knowledge in terms of groundwater. And that's what essentially is best for the ratepayers. What's best for the ratepayers. Now, consideration can be made to those, to those directors without a heavy water experience. But we have, a duty to serve our ratepayers to the best of our abilities. That's one of the reasons why I insisted for Mr. Ford to stay as an alternate. Now, there's another point I want to bring up here. Is we are lucky that we have Mr. Dirk Marks as a director. And after further consideration on my own, I think I would like to make a motion, but I would like to amend this resolution where I would like to step down as director and have Director Marks become a director on SCVGSA, and then I'll serve as an alternate. And the reason why I'm saying this is because Director
Marks is familiar with the GSA, with the groundwater sustainability plan. His past capacity as the agency's water resource manager, he oversaw the preparation of the groundwater sections of the 2010, 2015, and 2020 urban water management plan that summarized groundwater issues facing our valley here in Santa Clarita. He was involved with the formation of the GSA. He participated in the preparation of the groundwater sustainability plan, where he helped guide the analytic analysis in the plan, including the foundational groundwater modeling. And he has also was involved in preparation of the GSA's annual budget. So, you know, realizing the depth of knowledge of Director Marks, and the fact that, you know, he does live here, he is a director, I would like to make a motion of keeping everything the same, except for switching places where I become alternate and Director Marks becomes acting director on SCVGSA. Back to you, President Martin.
Very good. Thank you, Vice President Ozahosky. Before I consult with our attorney, is there any other comment or discussion amongst the board? Mr. Bond, do we have to first vote whether we're going to amend the motion and then actually vote for the amended?
No, you can do it that way, but it's probably more efficient to just have someone propose the slate, as I understood. I think, Director Ozahosky just did.
He just did.
And somebody can make that as a motion, and then you vote on it.
All right. Director Cooper.
I would so move the recommendation that Director Ozahosky has proposed for the GSA.
Okay. We have a second?
I'll second it.
Second by Vice President Gutse.
I did have a brief comment as well, if I may.
Oh, yes.
I just wanted to relay a comment from GSA board member Gina Natoli, that she enjoys our GSA and appreciates the depth of knowledge of our staff working on the GSA. She said we have a very special GSA up here, and I wanted to make sure everybody heard that, because it's a important job. So thank you. Yeah,
thank you. Any other board discussion? All right. I do want to respond a little bit to Director Armistice. I understand your point. I do not appreciate, though, your insinuation that we're doing this to, let's say, pad Jeff Ford's resume for a future election. That has absolutely nothing to do with it. So I think that probably hurts your point a little bit. I think, at least in my mind, it did. So unless there's further discussion, do we need to ask for public comment on this?
Yes, we do.
See any public comment?
There is not.
All right, very good. Please call the roll.
As I call your name, please state how you vote. Director Armitage.
No.
Director Cooper.
Yes.
Director Peterson.
Yes.
Director Marks.
Yes.
Vice President Gutzeit.
Yes.
Vice President Ozahosky.
Yes.
President Martin.
Yes.
Thank you. This item does pass.
Very good. I think that completes the consent calendar work for tonight. We can move on to item 7, General Manager's Report on Activities, Projects, and Programs. Mr. Stone.
Hey, thank you very much. Let's see, I've got a few notes here. I wanted to comment on... Sorry, they're a little cryptic. I didn't get them all typed out because it was a busy day. I did attend our state water contractors group meeting on the 19th and 20th of this month. I just kind of picked one highlight from that meeting. The board approved at our board meeting a suite of funding for research projects. It's one of the things that the contractors organization has done as part of its strategic initiatives is a more organized science program with a proposal solicitation and selection of projects that may have relevance to the habitat, ecology, stressors, and outflow issues that we deal with in terms of our operations and permits, with the idea of advancing the knowledge and potential application of insights that come from those studies, hopefully with the goal of improving operational outcomes both for the fish and for the water supply. And we had a very robust, I think we had 16 proposals that came in for almost $10 million of potential funding. We made an award based on our budget and a panel's review and kind of screening of those best suited projects of about $2.6 million for six projects. One of those projects was also of such interest to DWR that they're going to fund independently of that another $1.5 million for that project. There should be a press release coming out. I just was emailing, just got the answer back at 7:08 p.m. So well, whether I'd missed the press release, it's coming out in a few days. So it should have more detailed information about that. And I was sort of trying to get clearance whether I could even talk about it because we wanted to notify the awardees before going public. But that's an aspect of, you know, the dues that we pay into that organization and the organization's objectives that sometimes doesn't get highlighted, and wanted to mention that. On the strategic plan, I think many of you have completed your initial SWOT interviews with Ed Means. I did mine, and it was a great experience to kind of like get yourself back immersed into that way of thinking and really I think Ed is, you know, soaking it all up and working on summaries, and we're getting ready for our workshop in September with the board. He's got meetings with groups of staff coming up as well in August. So we'll, you know, we're getting rolling on that that update, which I'm really glad to see. Also wanted to mention our bond sale. This took place this morning in the markets. And so if Rochelle wouldn't mind, I did not want to steal her thunder because she worked awfully hard for this thunder, as well as the whole team.
Just real quick. So after months and months and months of work, the agency's 2023 revenue bonds were successfully sold in the market today with a final borrowing cost of 2.85%. The agency had over $285 million in orders from investors. Despite yields rising slightly today and the tax-exempt market, yields on the agency's bonds ultimately were lowered by an additional 0.01 to 0.05% due to the investor demand for a highly related credit. We believe the rating upgrade that was reported at the last meeting from AA to AA+ contributed to today's results. And also to note, our projected estimate of all-in interest costs projected at the last meeting was 3.03%. And as reported earlier, our all-in costs today were 2.85%. That is equal to about $1.6 million in total debt service savings. So just at this time, thank our financing group, including our staff, our consultants, and legal for the positive results today.
And the finance committee for some good tire kicking. Yes, and that does conclude
very good
remarks thank for you. Tonight. Thank you.
Director Cooper. Well, let's hold on. We have any public comment on general manager's report?
We do not.
Very good. Director Cooper, you got a comment.
I just want to say, Rochelle and your team and the staff, senior management, fantastic job. I mean, that is a great rate. And I think the AA+ was a part of that. I think they look at our stable income and where we're at. That's terrific at 2.85% in this market right now is fantastic. So good job. Very good.
Thanks. Thanks.
Any other comments, Director, Vice President Gutze?
I know you just mentioned a press release, but is there a way that this would be considered? Well, I'd like it considered for a press release because I think that rate is just amazing. And again, channeling my friend Dan Mortensen from New Hall Water, I mean, if you look at the cost of borrowing, I mean, that's practically free money compared to inflation and all that. It's truly amazing that we are able to do that to build facilities that we need because of the new regulatory demands coming at us. So the agency's doing really good. And I would like, you know, if possible, to have a press release talking about how that rating increase has benefited the consumers in our valley.
Thank you, Vice President Gutzeit. Director Cooper.
You know, just a thought that goes along with that. A good part of this bonding that we're doing are PFAS projects. And it might be a good PFAS article that what we've done, how we've come up with the money, and how we've come up with it cheaply to help do some of the projects for PFAS in the future. Because I think the public kind of needs to get on board that there's going to be some big expenses with PFAS and hopefully a Delta fix down the road to help bring water to the valley. So good job.
Okay, thank you.
Any other comments on the director / finance manager report tonight? All right, thank you very much. We can move on to item 8, committee meeting recap reports for informational purposes only. There were 3 reports included in your board packet. Before I ask for board questions or comments, are there any public comment?
There is not.
Very good. Are there any questions or comments from the board on the committee reports? Seeing none, we can move to item 9, written reports for informational purposes only. There were 4 reports included in the packet tonight, as well as the committee planning calendars. Are there any public comments, Madam Secretary?
There is not.
Are there any comments or questions or discussion from the board? Director Armitage.
Thank you. Just 3 comments, maybe questions on 9.4, the Water Resources and Outreach Section Report. First, under Communications, Legislations, and Grants, there's a section on key accomplishments. And I just appreciated the information that was shared about when staff attended the SCV Chamber Business Expo. I kind of honed in on the sentence that says, much of the conversation focused on the frustration with HOAs and water saving practices. And I think it reinforces for me the good work that's starting to happen around conversations that are happening with the HOAs now and trying to get them on board with the kind of the rebate programs and the water savings programs available to them. So I feel like this shows how important it is to continue that conversation. And, you know, if there's any way we can build or expand on that creatively, it seems like there's a need for that. So just wanted to mention that. Secondly, there was note about potential application for grant funding to complete seismic retrofits of about 5 water storage tanks because of the agency's local hazard mitigation plan qualifies the agency to do so. So that was exciting for me to read. And so I'm going to keep my eye open for any updates related to that in the future. And then lastly, there was mention about staff working with USC's Dorns Life Public Exchange on a reducing residential water use in the Santa Clarita Valley study. And that kind of piqued my interest. So I'm wondering if in the future, some of that, the results of that and the data from that could possibly be shared out so we can get a peek at that. And that's it. Thank you.
President Martin, your microphone is off. Your microphone is off.
That better?
Better, thank you.
All right, very good. Moving to item 10, President's Report, I'd like to update the board on the following meetings. Outside of the agency conference and events, the 30th Annual Urban Water Institute Conference being held in San Diego on August 23 to 25. The 2023 Economic Outlook on September 15th, program start time 8 a.m. at College of the Canyon Performing Arts. And the Valley Industrial Association, the BASH, Fire and Ice Ball, on November 3, 2023, 6 p.m. at the Hyatt Regency. Upcoming meetings, upcoming board meetings, start time 6 p.m., regular board meeting on August 15th, regular board meeting on September 5. Special board meeting for strategic planning workshop, September 7, 2023 at Piccola Osteria. And the special board meeting for strategic planning workshop, September 8th at the Embassy Suites. Upcoming committee meetings held at Summit Circle in the EESS boardroom at 5:30 are the August 3 Engineering and Operations, the August 9 Water Resources and Watershed Committee meeting, and the August 17th Public Outreach and Legislation Committee meeting. Upcoming committee meetings here at Rio Vista in the boardroom at 5:30, the August 14th Finance and Administration. A couple of additional announcements, a reminder to the board, please let the board secretary know if you are interested in being placed on any of the AQUA committees for the 2024-2025 term. Please let the board secretary know your dinner choices for the September 7th special board meeting. And that concludes the president's report for tonight. Are there any public comments, April?
There is not.
Any questions for the board? Seeing none, we'll move on to item 11, AB 1234 reports. There were two reports that were posted at your spots and were emailed. Does anyone have any additional AB 1234 reports? Vice President Ozahusky.
Okay. On July 27th, I've attended the SCV and GSA special board meeting where we approved a new or replacement well review process as required by governor's executive order. I would encourage directors to take a look at the new or replacement groundwater production well form at your earliest convenience. Back to you, President Martin.
Very good. Director Marks.
On July 25th, I had a virtual meeting, or actually an in-person meeting, here at the agency headquarters with Ed Means on the upcoming strategic plan.
Director Armitage.
Thank you. So I also met with Ed Means on July 24th, also here in person in the boardroom. To also share my thoughts around the strategic plan, the strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats, mission and vision statements, values, and goals. Thank you.
Very good. Director Cooper.
Yes, I have three reports. Had the meeting with Ed Means on July 24th, as everybody else has. And on 27th and 28th, I was in Sacramento for AQUA. 27th was a workshop. And the 28th was the board meeting.
Very good.
And I'll have some items under director's report.
Any other AB 1234 reports? I have a couple myself. On the 25th, July 25th, I had a telephone conference call with Ed Means on the preparation for the strategic planning that's upcoming. And on the 27th, I also attended the SCVGSA board meeting. Discussions were what Vice President Ozahusky reported and what Vice President Hussite reported in her written report. That concludes my reports. I think that concludes the AB 1234s. Are there any public comment?
There is not.
All right. Well, that brings us to closed session. We will now be going into closed session. The public may stay on the Zoom webinar. Any board members or staff that are connected to the Zoom and are in closed session, please disconnect from the Zoom. We will meet in closed session to discuss items 12.1 as listed in the agenda item tonight. Members of the public and any staff may stay on the current line. And once closed session is over, the board will reconnect to the Zoom webinar for closed session announcements and to continue the meeting. We are now in closed session. We will take a 5-minute recess to get set up for closed session. We are now back in open session. I'd like to ask Mr. Bunn, our counsel, for the closed session announcements.
President 13. Yes, President, members of the board. The board met in closed session to discuss the item mentioned in the agenda, and no reportable action was taken.
Thank you, Mr. Bunn. We can move on to item 14, director reports. Are there any director reports tonight? Director Armitage, go ahead.
Thank you. I have three short things that I wanted to say, but I'm wondering, and I've wondered this before, if there would be consideration given to maybe moving director's reports to before closed session on the agenda, because I feel like when we go into closed session, we often lose people and then they don't get to hear our very fun and interesting director reports. So I'd like to throw that out for consideration. I just wanted to mostly say that I very much appreciated the opportunity for us directors to individually meet with Mr. Means to have the discussion about our thoughts around the strategic plan. I thought that was nice to have that one-on-one time and that, you know, individual conversation before we bring it into a group discussion in September. So I just wanted to extend my thanks again for that opportunity. Secondly, I'd like to spotlight the great and exciting, I think, collaborative work that happened recently between SCV Water staff, Assemblymember Pilar Schiavo and her staff, and our state ledge advocates to get the $1 million in arenda removal. I'm still excited about that. I'm hoping that we can make a dent in the significant issue of arenda in our riverbed. So I'm still on cloud nine over our, the ability to have that. So, and then lastly, I just want to say, you know, many of our Valley's students are going to be going back to school next week. I can't believe summer break's already over for a lot of them. So I just want to send them off with best wishes to the students as they start their new school year, and to all of the parents who have to deal with parenting school-age kids. So that's it. Thanks.
Thank you, Director Armitage. Director Cooper.
Thank you. From the Aqua board meeting, I had a couple of items that I wanted to bring back and let the board know about. One, if you recall, about 3 months ago, we started the Aqua Foundation, which was really started out kind of a DEI. It's evolved to much larger than that. It's going out and helping to recruit people for the industry. And so far, it's just getting off the ground, has collected $344,000. Wow. So it's moving along. The goal for this year is to see if we can hit $1 million. A number of companies that do business in the water world have contributed, and there's been some water agencies that have contributed too. So I'm sure we'll get hit up in some manner as it goes along, but it's moving along well. Aqua's starting another program. You know, the program that April was so good at helping us with, which was the transparency certificate program with CSDA. Aqua's come up in conjunction with CSDA to have one that's going to be called the Aqua Certificate of Excellence for Water Agencies. It's a little complicated. There's a kind of a point system they're putting on things that you do and whether it makes you an excellent agency or not. But when you start doing with irrigation districts, water districts, it doesn't fit for GSAs, but we're going to run a pilot program. I've offered us as one of the pilots to be in this. And it'll be a few months down the road to start it. But I think we're trying to get 10 agencies to come up and see how it works and how effective it is. You know, we do get a pretty good play out of the transparency one. There's times when it's very good. And I think this Aqua Certificate of Excellence will help with that as well. There's some state received some Fed money, not a large amount, $50 million for projects. and 30 million of that is to go to Sites Reservoir. So it's going to help Sites move along faster. Sites is really starting to get on the fast track now, especially with the CEQA stuff, Newsom's streamlining. It's going much faster, and let's hope it continues on that way. Aqua, we picked a new general counsel. We've used Chronic Moskowitz for years, and went out for an RFP, decided on to go with a larger firm that could provide more services than Chronic Moskowitz could. And we ended up with Best and Krieger. Joshua Nelson, if you know Joshua, he's a sharp guy. And then Aqua has a program called Quench California, which is their social media and campaign on water conservation and use. And I hope we can put this to good use in the agency. They put a lot of money into it, and there's a lot of good stuff there that they will make it fit our agency and that we can use in advertising wherever we want to do it, whether it's at movie theaters or whatever we want to do, that we can get it out there. So they've put a lot of funds into it, saves all the water agencies a lot of money, and hopefully we can take a good look at it and see what we can use. I know Kathy was well aware of it. The rest of it was just business stuff. Financially, Aqua is doing very well. That's it. Thank you.
Thank you, Director Cooper, for the time you put in on the Aqua Board. It's quite a demanding position you've taken, so appreciate that. Bye.
Director Cooper, can you turn on your microphone? Thank you.
Okay. At the board meeting, I got volunteered for another ad hoc committee. So I can see how Jerry got overwhelmed with this stuff and then went to JPIA and NRCA and, you know, all of those. I'm not going to do that.
Vice President Ozahusky.
Yeah, Director Cooper, you did not get volunteered. You got voluntold. Quick question for you, Dr. Cooper. So this Excellence Award, does that have a potential that we can attach that on grant applications, or will that have any effect on our rating, Ms. Patterson?
Well, you know, I'm not sure what kind of effect. There was a large discussion on a certificate program as opposed to a certification program. And this is going to be a certificate program based on the scores that we give water agencies. It'll have a logo. You can use the logo that you're just like this, the transparency certificate. You can use this ACE certificate of excellence on your literature, advertisements, whatever you want to do with it. And I'm sure you can put it in whatever you want once you get it.
Right. No, just my concern, will it work in Sacramento and DC? To our benefit?
I don't know. I think the transparency one does. It does some help. It's just another quiver than your arrow, your quiver that helps you.
Okay.
It's doing it in conjunction with CSDA. Is you have to receive CSDA's transparency certificate to qualify to get into this program, which we've already done, or an equivalent to that. So it's. They're going to be combined together.
Okay, understood. Thank you. Back to you, President Martin.
Any other director reports? So I'd just like to say that I thank the board for supporting my remote attendance during my absence. And I'd like to thank Vice President Ozahusky and Vice President Gutzeit for sitting in while I was rehabbing over just down the street at the hospital. So appreciate that. I think that concludes item 14, director reports. Do we have any public comment?
We do not.
Very good. We can move on to item 15, director requests for approval for event attendance. Are there any requests for event attendance tonight? Seeing none, I think we have arrived at item 16, adjournment. And thank you, staff. for all your hard work. Thank you, board. And we are hereby adjourned.
Very good.